It is my pleasure, truly my pleasure, to be here and to see my brothers and sisters in California in Christ. You know, we have brothers and sisters all over this world. And someday we'll get to meet all of them. But every now and then I get to meet some here and some there. And the Lord, in His providence, brought me this way this week. Turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. I titled the message, Created for His Glory. If we can really get a hold of that, that He made us for Himself. God did not make me for me. God made me for Himself. Scripture says in Colossians chapter 1, all things were created by Him and for Him. And we will see this in this chapter. And I'm not going to deal with every verse in this chapter, but I'm going to touch on several of them. And you'll notice he says in verse 1 of this chapter, he speaks of Jacob and Israel. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Now for us to have an understanding and for us to really apply this to ourselves, we have to understand who Israel is. Who is he speaking to? Who is it the Lord speaking to here in this chapter? Turn to Romans chapter 9. Starting this, we're going to turn to a few verses of Scripture. Because we definitely want to establish everything we have to say from the Word of God. I tell the people back home, Spring Lake, I said, "You, after I preach a message, you take the Word of God and you follow me, and you check it out. Check it out." Now in Romans chapter 9, let me read verse 8. Let me go back to verse 6. In verse 6, "Not as though the word of God hath taken non-effect, for they are not all Israel which are Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they the children." They pride themselves on being the children of Abraham. They said to our Lord, "We're the children of Abraham. Abraham's our father." And the Lord said, "No, the devil's your father." He straightened them out real quick. The devil's your father. But here it says, "Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God." They are not the children of God. "But the children of the promise," those who are promised to the Lord Jesus Christ in that covenant of grace, "are counted for the seed." Now, look over in Romans chapter 2. Go over here in Romans chapter 2. Look in verse 28. In Romans 2, verse 28. "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward, in the flesh. But he is a Jew, he is a true Israelite, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God." You who believe God, you are the true Israel of God. You are the true Jew. You are the true circumcision. Now look over in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, look in verse 3. Paul says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Their confidence was in their connection, their fleshly connection to Abraham. Our confidence before God is Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with this flesh. It has nothing to do with my heritage at all. It has nothing to do with my family tree. It has to do with my connection, my union to Jesus Christ. We are the circumcision. We are the true Israel of God, which worship God in the Spirit. God is Spirit, and they who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, is what the Scripture says. And then look over in Galatians chapter 4, and then we'll move on. In Galatians chapter 4, I just want to establish this. And this way you'll understand who these promises are to. They are to you and to me and to everyone who believes the gospel and to everyone whom God has given faith to. He's speaking to them. That's who he's speaking to. He's speaking to us. In Galatians chapter 4, in verse 28. Well, let's go look in 3:7. Chapter 3 first. Chapter 3. Know ye therefore, in verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. I'm looking at the children of Abraham. I'm looking at them. You are the children of Abraham. And then in Galatians 4, in verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Now, let's go back to Isaiah 43. Now we can enjoy this. Now we can enjoy it. Now we know who he's talking to. I can read this now, and this is to me. This is my Lord's word and his letter to me. This is what he's saying to me. And he says, one of the first things he says to Israel and Jacob, one time he called him thou worm Jacob. Put him in his place. God has to put us in our place first. But Jacob, God said, Jacob have I loved. Jacob have I loved. And here's what he says. The first thing he says here is this. Fear not. Fear not. Fear is a product of sin. Now, there is a right fear of God which is born of God. It is a reverent respect and awe of who God is. It is a reverent respect of God as being our Father. He deserves the respect of a Father. God is our... Don't let that go over your head. God is our Father. That's real. That's very real. And there's a right respect. The fear of the Lord's beginning of wisdom. But that's not what he's saying here, because he's saying fear not. He's saying fear not. Because they were fearful. As you and I get fearful way too many times. How many times did our Lord say to his disciples, why are you so fearful? Why are you afraid? When he was in the ship and that ship was about to sink, they thought. And the water, the waves and the water was coming in and billowing it out. And he was in the back of the boat asleep. And they woke him up and said, carest thou not that we perish? Well, that's why he came. Carest thou not that we perish? And he said, oh, you little fat, why are you so fearful? And he commands. He commands the wind and the waves to be still. And immediately they were... And they said, what manner of man is this? Yeah, I tell you what manner of man, he's God. He is the God-man. He is God manifest in flesh. He's the ordinary man. He's God in the flesh. But the fear he's speaking of here is a fear that's born of sin. It's born of unbelief. It's not believing God. You know, when Adam was in the garden and he heard the voice of God walking in the cool of the day, and God's cried out, "Adam, where art thou?" And Adam said, "I heard thy voice, and for the first time," he says, "I was afraid." That kind of fear is sin. That comes from sin. I was afraid. I heard your voice and I was afraid. Fear will shut you down. I tell you what fear will do. Fear will cause you to compromise. Fear will cause you to compromise. And the Lord is saying here to quiet our fears. This belongs to us now. This message belongs to us. He's quieting our fears. And he says, "Fear not." Then he gives us reasons not to fear. And one of them is this: I created thee. I formed you. The only reason for our existence, the only reason for my existence and your existence is for God. He said, "I formed you. I created you. I'm your creator." God will not lose that which he created for himself. He said, "Not a hair on your head will perish," didn't he? And I'm not saying it's just, I'm not trying to be humorous here, but I expect to have a full head of hair when it's over. He said, "Not a hair of your head will perish," didn't he? It will not perish. Not a hair. He said, "Not a hair." In one place he says, "The hairs of your head are numbered." How minutely does God know his children? It's written over in Psalm 139 that his thoughts of us, of his children, which is primarily speaking of Christ, but I tell you what applies to the head applies to the body. What applies to Christ applies to us. He said, thy thoughts to usward are like the sand of the sea, seaside, the seashore. I can't grasp that kind of attention. I mean, I have two boys, but I don't think of them like that. You know, they come to my mind from time to time. But not like the sand of the seashore. His thoughts are never off of us. God's thought, there's never a second that God Almighty's thoughts is off of you. Not a second. We can't comprehend that. But he said, "I created thee and formed thee." Listen to Ephesians 2:10. I'll read these to you because it'll take too long if I don't. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." But we are his workmanship. Listen to Psalm 100 and verse 3. "Know ye that the Lord, he is God." That's the first thing you know, that he's God. And you're going to see in this chapter, he keeps saying, you're going to know I'm God. You're going to know I'm the Lord. And beside me, there's what? There is no other God. No other God exists beside me. But in Psalm 100, verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves." I didn't make myself a believer. You didn't make yourself a believer. You know why you believe the gospel? Well, you can't help it. You can't help it no more than you can help breathing. Try not to breathe. See how long that lasts. That's the way faith is. That's the way faith that's born of God is. You can't help but believe. God has worked that in you. He's convinced you. He's made himself known to you. You see him. You see him. And you can't help but believe. That's what he said. "It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Believers are the work of God. You're the handiwork of God. And not only this, he said, "I created thee and formed thee," but here's another reason not to fear. And here's this, "I have redeemed thee." Not only has God created us, but he has paid a great price for us. We were sold under sin. The law owned us as prisoners. And God, to honor his own law, came into this world and paid a great price for us. Listen to the scriptures. In 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19, "For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." Don't think like that. God doesn't. That's not the currency God deals in. Silver and gold. He made them. He made silver and gold. He made all that's on this earth. You're not redeemed with what he made there on this earth. "From your vain, your empty, useless life, conversation, received by the tradition of the fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." He said, I have redeemed you. I've redeemed you. You're mine. You're not your own. You're not your own. I'm not my own. And I have learned over the years that I'm glad I'm not my own. The last person I want to have me is me. That's a bad combination. I've learned that I pray, Lord, don't turn me loose on myself. I'd be in trouble. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 6:20. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And then he says this, "Thou art mine." You're mine. Now, first of all, we know that all things belong to God. In Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and they who dwell therein." It's all his. It's all his. He's the sovereign. He made it. He created it. He made it like he wanted to. And he's going to run it like he wants to. He's going to run it as he will. That's right. And when you create a world, you go ahead and run it like you want to. But since he created this one, he's going to run it like he wants to. It's his. "The earth is the Lord." But listen, "Thou art mine. I've redeemed you. You're mine by creation. You're mine, listen, by a new creation. You're mine by creation. You're mine by a new creation. You're mine by purchase." You're mine. "And therefore fear not." Well, you have the fear. God says, "I've made you, I created you, I've redeemed you. You're mine. You're the apple of my eye." And then we have the promise of his protection. He says in verse 2, "When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee." Here's a promise. You can just hang this on you. Put this one on your refrigerator. "I'll be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." The church's path through this life is rough. It's going to be a difficult time, and every believer's path is not going to be smooth. It's going to be rough. He says here, "When you pass through the waters," he does not say "if you pass through the waters," "if you pass through the rivers," "if you happen to come upon some fire." He says, "When." When. It's coming to every one of his children. He chastens everyone whom he receives. He tries the faith of everyone whom he receives. Every one of his sons and daughters are tried. He tries their faith. He tries it. Waters, rivers, and fire represent the trials of life. Peter speaks of them as fiery trials. When you go through the fire, Peter says they're fiery trials. Think it not strange when fiery trials come upon you, because God's going to send them. It's going to be for your good and his glory. I tell you what, I like the way Peter says, "if need be." If need be. Every trial that God sends my way, every trial God sends your way, is a need be. If he sends it to you, you needed it. You needed it. It didn't just happen. It didn't just happen. No, it wasn't just unlucky. Don't ever use the word unlucky. I was in a barbershop one time, and on the wall, he had a picture of a dog. It said he's lost. He's got one eye. He's deaf. He's got three legs. And he goes by the name Lucky. There you go. There's Lucky. No, every minute thing is directed by God. We'll see this as we go on here. But Peter calls them fiery trials. And he says when, not if, all trials are ordained of God. He's ordained, every tear that I'll ever cry, that'll ever drop from my eye, God ordained it. God ordained it. He ordained the trouble that brought it. He ordained the heartache that brought it. When Job lost all that he did, lost his children, lost his health, lost it all, Job never blamed the devil. He never said the devil. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. The Lord taketh away. He'll use Satan. God uses means. God's a God of means. And he'll use whatever he purposes to use to conform me and you to Christ and bring us home to glory. I promise you, he'll do that. And when these trials come, God said he'd go with us. He didn't say he'd stand on the other side and watch. Or he'd help. He said, I'll be with you. Listen to Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. When Mary and Martha stood at the grave of their brother Lazarus, and they wept, and they was crying, and they talked to the Lord, it says Jesus wept. And I like what one commentator said. I've never forgot this. He said, he felt everything he took away. He felt everything he took away. He felt their pain. Does not the head feel the pain of the body? Is he not the head? And we are his body. And here's another reason to fear not. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. He's real. God is real. He's not an idol. We didn't whittle this one out. He's the creator of heaven and earth. I'm your creator. I'm the Lord. And that is capital L-O-R-D. I am the self-existing one. The Holy One of Israel. What did the devil say when the Lord was going to cast him out? We know who you are. You are the Holy One of Israel. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking here. That's who it is. The Lord, the Holy One of Israel, is our Savior, God who is holy, God who can do no wrong, God who can make no mistakes. God is our Savior. My faith is not my Savior, although God saves us through faith, by grace through faith. God is my Savior. Listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. God became a man, took my place, suffered his own justice, suffered at the hands of his own justice. God suffered at the hands of God. Can you comprehend that? Absolutely not. But he did. When he became a man. And you know why he gave his son for us? You know why he did this? He says in verse 4, since thou wast precious in my sight. There's two things he mentions in this verse. You were precious. And he said, I loved you. In another place in Jeremiah, he said, I loved you with an everlasting love. You can't comprehend there was never a time God did not love me. And God did not love. There was never a time he did not love you. His love was, he's loved you, he said, with an everlasting love. You're precious, he said, in his sight. You are just as precious in His sight as Jesus Christ is. Just as precious. I can't comprehend that, can you? I can't comprehend that. You know, I have two sons. I have grandchildren now. Boy, you're talking about precious. Precious. But I tell you what, multiply that by infinity and give you a little idea of how precious you are in God's sight. So much so that He came into this world and died. Took your hell. If you believe, He took your hell. You and I will never experience that. We'll never be able to comprehend the suffering and the wrath that He took, and we don't have to. Can't comprehend it. And because of this, He says, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee, therefore I'll give men for thee and people for thy life. We are honorable because He made us so. We're honorable. I tell you, apart from Christ, we have no honor. You can't put us on the honor roll. Honorary roll, but not the honor roll. You can't put us on the honor roll, no. You know, I've learned this. In myself, I'm worthless. But in Jesus Christ, I mean, I can't even begin to say what the worth is. But I know this. Listen, Jesus Christ is my worth. He's all my worth before God. And whatever Christ is worth to God Almighty, that's what we are to Him. That's what it is. That's what we are to Him. And because of this, listen, He said, I've made you honorable. You know where our honor lies? You know where our honor lies? Where it's at? Now are you the sons of God. I'm looking at sons and daughters of the King. Royalty. I'm preaching to royalty tonight. I'm preaching to royalty. I am. Therefore, because of this, I'll give men for thee and people for thy life. Do you know and realize that God governs this whole world for the sake of His elect? I know, you know, you turn the news on and you get all bent out of shape. Someone said one of the most evil things and craftiest things that Satan ever concocted was 24/7 news channel. Keeps you tore up. You turn it on and it's just constant. You know, you think, oh, this thing is falling apart. It's going exactly like God purposed it. Is it? You either believe it or you don't believe it. It is. It's going exactly as He purposed it. I'm able to go to bed at night and sleep, no matter what all the chaos seems to be going. It's orchestrated chaos. It's under His hand, His authority. There's a man on the throne, King Jesus, who literally right now is ruling and reigning over absolutely every minute thing that goes on in the universe, among the angels, among the fallen angels, among the human race. Nothing moves. That Jesus Christ does not say, move. You either come or you either go. You either do this or you do that. Now, brethren, how to give you some peace? How to give you some peace? If God gives you the faith to believe Him, that'll give you some peace. God governs this whole world right now for your sake. Everything, what's going on right now, is for you. It's for you. And then He says there in verse 5, "Fear not. I'm with thee. I'm with you." Even when you feel alone, when you feel like you cannot detect His or perceive His presence in any way, shape, or form, He says, I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you. Is not Christ in you? Well, he doesn't come and go. If Christ is in you, who is the hope of glory, he's in you forever. He's in you forever. And here's a promise to his church. And I'm going to have to wind this up. Here's a promise to the church. I'll bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Well, I just came from the east to the west. And I'm preaching to God's people. God knows where every one of his sheep are. This is why we preach the gospel. This is why we send the gospel out. It's the voice of the shepherd. And his sheep, he said, my sheep hear my voice. When they hear his voice, they're going to come. They're going to come. And he knows exactly where they are. He knows where they are. I'll say to the north, give up. None can keep back. That's what he said to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Give them up. Satan, give them up. In the Gospels, he said, come out of him. When you read the Gospels, have you ever read where a demon said, no. No, I ain't coming out. Every time. There wasn't an argument going on between them. There wasn't a fussing, this is mine, no it's not, yes it is, no it's not. It was never an argument. He just said, come out. And they came out. Every time. Every time they came out. He said, when I say give up, I can tell you right now, they're going, whatever has you, whatever had you, is giving you up. He said, sin shall not have dominion. Sin had me. Satan had every one of us. Sin had every one of us. But he said, sin will not have dominion over you. What good would it be for God to save me and yet sin reign over me? He said, no, it's not going to reign over you. He's not saying you don't sin. He's not saying you don't, we won't fall and stumble and... But it's not going to be your life. It's not going to reign over you. It's not reigning over you. Christ said it's not going to. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It's not reigning over you. Satan's not going to reign over you. When the stronger man comes in and takes over the house, the weak man has to go. Christ is the strong man. He takes over the house and he never gives it up afterwards. Never gives it up. It's his. He never vacates. He never vacates. Cleanses. Cleanses. That's what trials are for. You know, to help take off some of that dross. Not one sheep of his will be lost. And everyone's called by my name. Even everyone's called by my name. Everyone that's a son of God or a daughter. He said, they're coming. They're mine. I'm not going to lose them. I'm not going to lose them. You know, it says over in Isaiah 53 that he shall see as the travail of his soul be satisfied. The Lord has no stillborn children. Every one of them will live. Every one of them will live. God has given us his name, sons of God. And here's what it's all about. For I have created him for my glory. That's what, God's created you for his glory. And the sooner we get a hold of this, the better. I'm not my own. God made me for his glory. Lord, what would you have me to do? Put me where you'd put me. If we could really find and get a hold of this, if we could really get a hold of this, that we are made for him, it'll help you be content with wherever God's put you and whatever you're doing. You'll find real contentment. You'll find real contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason we're not content, is because we're not content with him. But when we find our real contentment with what the Lord has done for us, in us and what he's doing with us. And then you're going to know what contentment is. You're going to know something about what peace really is. Peace of heart. You'll know something about it. Well, I'm going to close here. I'm going to close here. I think I've said enough. You know, I've said several other pages here, but I think it would be wise to know when to stop. You and I were created for His glory. And He said, I've redeemed you. I've formed you. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. God's not in the renovation business. God doesn't renovate anything. That's what you and I do. We like to fix up old things. He says, behold, I make all things new. Even you. Even you. Giving you a new name, He said. You're going to have a new name. You got a new nature. You got a new heart. You got a right spirit. Going to be a new heaven, new earth. God's not fixing any of this up. He's going to annihilate it. And everything's going to be new. And as every bit of it, when this life's over, when this is all over, and we stand on that new earth, and there's a multitude which no man could number, it's all for His glory. All of it. And you know what? Every last one of us will say, amen. It's only right that such a person should receive such glory. I don't deserve any glory. You don't deserve any glory. It's only right. It is only right for God to glorify Himself. Such attributes, such perfection is to be glorified. And it's only right for God to do it.